This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Each week, millions of Americans attend worship services. The question is, why? And we're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your church. And we thank you for a land in which the doors are open and we are free to go in and out. As the masses of people enter into your house of worship, in this week and in the weeks that are to come, we pray that they may listen attentively as your Holy Spirit seeks to take the words from Holy Writ and make them living truths in their hearts. Lord Jesus, come and bring to America a spiritual awakening, lest we fall by the wayside. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel. It begins with the fourth verse. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around the waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and a Spirit descending on him like a dove. And there was a voice that came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 years, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, David Mills, writing in Touchstone magazine, has an article that caught my attention, and I'd like to share some of his thoughts with you. He says that everything in our language has to be hyped up today. In other words, the greatest words in our vocabulary are losing their power. And so we add words to try to make them more powerful. Some have called this linguistic supersizing. Well, I use this to begin with because I think that it has some relationship with a sermon that John the Baptist once preached. Let me quote. "This is the sort of thing that makes academic conferences so trying. One professor inevitably begins his response to another's paper by praising this fascinating analysis and great contribution to the field, and by telling everyone how intrigued they all were, even when the professor had left half the room asleep with incomprehensible mixtures of platitude, name-dropping, and irrelevant questions." The writer says, along with this, we praise everybody for no matter what they do or say. He writes, "I do not think I have been to a concert or play in years that did not end with a standing ovation. Some of them were very good, but what can one now do to recognize a truly superlative performance? I suppose you could start a new way to recognize great work by standing on your chair as you cheer, or take off your shirt and whirl it around in the air above your head. But if you did that, 2 weeks later, everybody would be standing on their chairs or taking off their shirts and whirling them in the air." In other words, he is saying that communication is not what we would like to have it be. And he does talk about this word, inflation. So I ask you the question then, in the light of this sermon that we're going to analyze for just a bit, was John the Baptist guilty of word inflation? I think not. And I think you will agree if you remember his preaching and if you listen to it carefully today. He used plain talk that has lasted for 2,000 years and still deserves an ovation for proclaiming the law and the gospel as no one has ever done. So let's take a look at this John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was a relative in the flesh of Jesus. You recall the Christmas story tells us that when Mary was told by the angel that she was going to have a baby, and she was confused because she was a virgin, she went to be with an older relative. That older relative was named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was also pregnant, a miracle in itself because she was past childbearing age, and the child she was carrying was John the Baptist. So you try to figure out what their relationship was, but there was some relationship. However, these two men had never met one another, as far as I can interpret the scripture. John says regarding Jesus, "I never knew him, and I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who were baptized with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God.'" So that's another part of John the Baptist's life. John the Baptist was also raised in a very good home. His father was a priest, and it was his duty to offer the sacrifices in the temple from time to time, burned incense there. And as a lad growing up near the temple, he must have watched these people come to the worship services. Had their religion had any dynamic effect on their lives? Evidently not. At least John the Baptist didn't think so. And he thought if religion does not have more to offer than what these people are getting who come to my father's worship services, there's something wrong somewhere. For I believe that if you are in a personal relationship with God, John the Baptist would say, your life will reveal it and everybody around you will notice it. Well, he strayed away somewhere and found himself living in one of the world's worst deserts, down near the Dead Sea. There he dressed in a way that could be repulsive even to the time of his day. His menu was locust and wild honey, was not appealing to any individual who came along. But when that man preached, you knew what he was talking about. His message centered around repentance for the forgiveness of your sin. And John knew what repentance was all about. Some preachers today may not quite agree with this, but repentance to him was knowing that I had sinned against God. And it was necessary for me to confess that sin, be sorrowful for it, and turn from it. And when he got done preaching about repentance, there was no word inflation that was needed to catch the attention of the people. Now, he was gaining a great popularity. Obviously, there was no paper that they could say, go out and see this man, hear him, because he's got something to say to you. But there was some popularity, for people, as they went out there, said, we've got to tell our friends. And I still say that's the best way to advertise, even in our day. Have you heard the preacher out in the wilderness? You better hear him. If you haven't, you're going to feel left out when he really becomes very popular. So the people flocked out there. There are those who say that there were at least 300,000 who saw and heard John the Baptist when he was doing that preaching out there. Now, why did he draw the crowds? Well, certainly it was not his personal appearance, nor was it his lifestyle. But day after day, these people had to live with the law. Year after year, they had to come and make their sacrifices for sin. And as we have already said, there was not a great deal of happiness in their lives. It appeared that they were not assured of the forgiveness of their sins. And so they were asking the question, could this preacher help us with our spiritual problems? A part of the audience that John the Baptist was preaching to were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the two religious parties who didn't love one another in any sense of the word, but they were looked upon with some respect from the common, ordinary man. One day when he was preaching away, John the Baptist saw Pharisees and Sadducees there. Now, if they were sleeping, this had to bring them to consciousness. He said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of those stones God can raise children from Abraham." Well, those religious leaders were really challenged. And they did go through the routine of confessing their sins. And they did burn the sacrifices and all the rest. But there was no sign in their behavior that they were sorry for their sins or that God had any intimate relationship with them that was changing their lives day in and day out. But after he has really given them the law, here comes the best part of John's message. He said to them, God has not just given us a law. He has given us a promise. And the promise is that we would have a Savior. And that Savior would take away our sins. The prophets told about his coming. And then John pointed to Jesus who had come into the group. And he said, look, behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Spirit, and he will give you blessings such as you never imagined you could have. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that demanded a standing ovation and demands it to this day. He pointed them to a Savior who one day would give them promises. A promise like this: if you abide in my word, you're going to know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. Free. Religion that would not move you into captivity, but religion that would make you free. He would say to them someday, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. In other words, this person to whom John the Baptist pointed them was going to give them a promise that there was a heavenly home. There was a place prepared for them. And there they would live together for all eternity. That was even better than being a child of Abraham. That king was better than even old King David. And it would simply be a gift of grace. Your sins are forgiven. They would hear him say, "My beloved friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And that word "world" must have caught their attention. For before this it had been that God so loved Israel, and he still loved Israel, and Israel still was the chosen people in one sense of the word. But he loved the world. Every person could come. He was the Savior of all mankind. How freeing, how wonderful, how great it all was. John's preaching brought forth such an ovation, not only from humans but from God himself, that his message is still proclaimed today. His words need no supersizing. They convey the message of the gospel. People are still coming by the thousands, for they have the drawing power of the Holy Spirit, who can bring us into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who gives us the abundant and eternal life. Yes, they've still come by the thousands. Stop and think of it, friend. We are amazed when we see hundreds of thousands of people filling football stadiums one week after another. But what about the millions who fill the pews of the churches scattered across America? Perhaps some of these churches are not always full. We wonder where the people are. But put them all together and think of the millions of people on every given Sunday who stand there and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a great opportunity. The message must be proclaimed. Law and gospel. We do not need a lot of new fancy words. People need to know what repentance is. People need to know what salvation is. People need to know what conversion is. People need to know what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is. And that's our opportunity in the churches of America today and in our vital worship and our important witnessing throughout the week when we point people to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. That was John the Baptist's message, very plain talk. And it's our message in this day. Amen. Father in heaven, raise up, we pray, people who will proclaim your word with all of its truth and purity, as did John the Baptist. Then come, Holy Spirit, and work through that word, we pray, that America's hearts may be touched, that we may be forgiven our sins, that we may be strengthened in our relationship with you, and that we might have, in this blessed land of ours, the one that we love so much, a spiritual awakening. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and pray you have been spiritually nourished by the message today. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson, our executive director and board president, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.